Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So, by a show of hands, how many of us here like, if not love, receiving gifts? Yeah, just what I thought. Most of us do. Most people do. Now, I'd venture to say that most people would also agree, if they're honest, that the joy of receiving a gift is often short-lived. I guess it depends on what the gift is. I mean, if you got a yacht, that could go for a while, the joy of receiving that gift. But for most people, especially us Christians, the old adage, it is better to give than to receive, is true. As a matter of fact, recent studies show that our lives are richer, our lives are more satisfying and more fulfilling when we give and share with others. Why else would we teach our children and our grandchildren that sharing is caring? It's because we know that the inner joy comes when we help others to be better, when we help others improve their lives, both physically, spiritually, in every other way. All you have to do is ask and talk to those of us who came back from our recent trip to Kitale, Kenya. It is true that our inner joy comes from helping, from bettering someone's life. That's why this congregation and many other Christian churches throughout the ages have ministries and have mission partners, both locally and globally, to share and to care for our neighbors, following the great command that Jesus have of his disciples: love one another as I have loved you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. To love both the rich and the poor, the healthy and the sick. It's what Jesus taught. It's what Jesus expects of his followers. So when we give from the heart, that is, when we give without any ulterior motive, when we genuinely give, our souls get nourished, our spirit get encouraged, our lives are satisfied. We receive, as it were, a reward that is far, far more valuable than any gift that we can give out. You know, Mahatma Gandhi once said that to find yourself, you have to lose yourself in the service of others. That is to say that when we focus on giving, when we focus on saving, when we focus on sharing with others, we are less likely to become consumed by our own worries, by our own concerns, by our own challenges. Mother Teresa is a great example of this because she found fulfillment. She found life satisfaction when she gave of herself to others. When Mother Teresa ministered to the poorest of the poor, the huddled and hurting masses in the slums of Calcutta, India, she made human pain, she made human suffering a little easier to bear, making her a saint indeed. How about you? How about us? How have we made the pain, the suffering, the burdens of our fellow man a little easier to bear? How have we lightened the load of others? Or have we added to their burdens? Have we piled on to their pain? Have we heaped shame and condemnation upon them, all in the name of Jesus? Something to think about this week. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus taught his disciples, taught his followers, saying in verse 33, "Sell your possessions and give alms." Now, giving alms is the practice of showing mercy to another. It's the practice of showing kindness. It's the practice of offering and giving charity and gifts to those who have not. Jesus said, "Sell your possessions and give alms." He said this once to a young lawyer or ruler who wanted to trap Jesus. He said, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus says, "Sell your possessions, give your money to the poor, and follow me." He couldn't do it. He walked away. Now, I know that most of us check out when Jesus tells us to sell your possessions. We don't like to part from our possessions. We don't like to be separated from our money. We don't like to be separated from our stuff. After all, the stuff we have accumulated, it's ours. Why should we part from them? And so we often end up ignoring what Jesus is trying to get at here. We just kind of gloss over the part where he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And we don't hear Jesus inform us that the stuff of life that we've accumulated is neither important nor unimportant. What is important is our attitude toward our stuff, toward the things that we possess. While I was pastoring in Minneapolis some years back, a seminary classmate of mine, his name is Rick, he was the lead pastor of a fast-growing suburban congregation. The time came when they needed to expand and add on to their already sprawling campus. Over the courses of several months, different schematics and different models of the would-be additions has been shown and presented to the congregation. But could you guess what the number one concern of the congregation was in all this, in this new expansion, new additions? Can you guess what their concern was? They were concerned that there would be enough storage space in the new build. They wanted to make sure that there was enough room for storage. They didn't really care, however, the configuration of the new building will come out, as long as there was enough storage space. Kind of makes sense. But Pastor Rick objected to their desire, to their demand. Pastor Rick didn't think that was a good idea. So I asked him, "Why don't you think that's a good idea?" And he says, "Because I know that if we build a bigger storage space, they're going to fill it with stuff." Well, Pastor Rick was let go, and the congregation got their oversized storage. And you could guess what happened next. Pastor Rick was right. The congregation filled every square inch with stuff. Yep, the more space they have, The more space we have, the more we tend to fill that space up with stuff. After all, we know that nature abhors a vacuum. So if we fill it with stuff, it will be okay. Well, don't get me wrong. The stuff we own is not necessarily bad or evil. The trouble with having stuff is that when we get so focused on storing, on maintaining, on keeping them, our heart becomes fixed on the stuff and not on the blessings that the stuff can bring to our lives and to others. That's the problem. When we're focused on having the things we already have and keeping it from being expanded or shared, but want to hoard it, we practice the practice known as being a sponge. Y'all familiar with sponge, right? Put a sponge in the water, it sucks up the water content that it's in. The only time a sponge will release what it has is until it's squeezed. Otherwise, it will hoard what it got. Again, the stuff we own is not necessarily bad or evil. It's just the focus, the attitude we have in trying to store them, keep them, maintain them. It causes our hearts to fix on the stuff and not on the blessings the stuff can bring to our lives and to others. See, our lives, our stuff, is to be a blessing to use in our lives and to others. And when the stuff we possess stops being a blessing, that's when our hearts are in the wrong place. When the stuff that we own, when the possessions that we have possesses us to the point that we are unable to make any change, to make any lateral movement, to the point that we are paralyzed from fear of not having enough, that's when our heart is in the wrong place. Now, I know that these teachings of Jesus make us feel uncomfortable. We don't like it when Jesus talks this way: sell your possessions and give the money to the poor. We don't like it when Jesus talks about money, period. We don't like it when he talks about our possessions, our stuff. But these texts are important, friends. They are important for us to hear. When we become burdened and stressed over money, budgets, over the stuff that we have, believe it or not, our bodies become tense and our hands become closed. And when our hands become closed, then we can no longer receive God in the ways that he desires to bless us. And that warning in verses 35 to 40 in our gospel text this morning, the warning about being ready is not a warning to avoid punishment, but rather it is a warning to be ready so that we can receive a blessing from God. That is why Jesus wants us to be aware as to where our treasure is. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In other words, we do not need to worry about storing things up in storage spaces. We don't need to worry about hoarding. We don't even have to worry about earthly things that will corrupt. Our God, our loving Father, is pleased to give us, to give you and I, all the blessings of the kingdoms. Not just the heavenly kingdom, but even here and now. And so the question is this. The question that we need to ask ourselves this week is this. What stuff is getting in your way of receiving God's blessing? What is keeping our arms so full that we cannot receive God's gifts? And secondly, what do you and I need to let go of? What do we need to release from our grasp? What do we need to let go of so our arms will be open to receive God's blessings so that we can be a blessing to others? That's our question for this week. Ponder it. Pray on it. And see where the Lord will lead you so that you may indeed receive the gifts and the blessing He has in store for you. Let us pray. Gracious and giving God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, allow us to see in you the fulfillment of all our needs so that we may turn from our every false satisfaction to feed on the true and living bread which you have given to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.